Hi, everyone. You can't have an effective compliance program if you don't have effective training behind it. And we're going to look at some of the ways you can bring your training to the next level. I'm your host, Bill Coffin, and this is the Ethicast. Compliance training is one of the most fundamental aspects of a solid compliance program, and yet it's an area where many organizations struggle. Some might be using outmoded training techniques. Others might be using content or plans that just aren't in step with what their employees need. Others still might have no real data-driven insights on if, where, or how their training is working as it's supposed to. Bringing best-in-class workplace learning solutions to bear isn't just a nice-to-have for those organizations aspiring to develop a great ethics and compliance program. In today's ethics environment, great training results are table stakes for what it means to be an ethics and compliance leader. With us today to talk about this is Harper Wells, Chief Compliance Officer for LearningPool, a technology company that helps global organizations solve their biggest employee performance challenges. Harper oversees LearningPool's ethics and compliance program and helps over 1,500 organizations around the world, including leading Fortune 500 organizations, transform their program strategy by leveraging technology and behavioral analytics. Harper, thank you so much for joining us.
Bill, thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here today.
LearningPool works with an awful lot of top-tier companies from a broad diversity of industries. What are some of the common challenges and opportunities that you see uniting all these disparate clients when it comes to E and C learning?
Yes, we do work with over 1,500 customers globally, as you mentioned, across all industry verticals, but we certainly do see common challenges and opportunities. Practitioners across verticals, as you know, are certainly united by the DOJ guidance to ensure their program is effective and works in practice. But over and above the typical regulatory stuff we usually talk about, is that what we see is that no matter who you are and what industry you're in, your people and your culture are imperative to success. And every employee is susceptible to ethical risks and regulatory violations, which can bring you not just under DOJ and other regulatory bodies' scrutiny, but most importantly, under customer, partner, and reputational fire. So we think about this not just from a legal exposure perspective, but from an ESG perspective, where stakeholders expect companies to do the right thing, just like the WME companies. Across industries, we do see common companies managing common risks that span across verticals like anti-corruption, your data privacy, your infosec, harassment, and code topics. Then you've got some added industry nuances depending on the sector, like AML or interactions with healthcare professionals. You've got FERC or NERC, things like that. My personal favorite, I worked in the energy industry for some time. But we're also seeing more recently, Bill, thanks in part to signaling by DAG Monaco, an opportunity for compliance teams to incorporate learning around responsible AI as they try to wrap their arms around the AI landscape. We'll actually be moderating a panel, as you know, at Ethisphere next week on how compliance teams are leveraging AI in their programs. And I know that there is another session on AI governance, so this is definitely a hot topic that's going to get a lot of airtime. But going back to the humans that make up our organizations, the fact that there's so much for an employee to remember above and beyond the nuts and bolts of their day job is why we see companies seeking out more sophisticated ways to have the information be real to the employees day to day, have strong retention power, and have actionable data from which to remediate and program plan.
The state of the art of compliance education is changing quite a bit these days, and a lot of companies are shedding certain outmoded techniques and approaches for more nimble and effective outcomes. What is a learning approach that you still see being used in the ethics compliance space that you wish would be retired once and for all, and why?
Bill, this is an excellent question, and I'm not going to be controversial. When I think a lot of people feel this way, I'd love to see the completion focused, one size fits all, talking slides with the obvious question type courses that have been used probably since the 90s, retired. And frankly, they have some staying power. I'm amazed they've managed to hang on. We all know you can't manage what you can't measure. And all completion measures, when we think about just the completions that we're getting from these trainings, is one, your ability to click next, and two, the importance that your population places on getting it done. Now, that is a stat that that goes to culture. But I was actually just on a panel with some incredible women leaders speaking about this. And while completions are still widely reported up to senior management and our boards, they really tell us nothing about what our people know and where we should focus our efforts. So if you really want an ethical culture, compliance must be human-centered and behavior-centered, not law-centered. And presenting compliance concepts once a year does not equal someone understanding it.
On that note, what are some progressive and or best practices that your clients are doing that you wish you'd see more widely adopted in the E&C space?
Yeah, great question. Between the evaluation of corporate compliance programs expectation that our program works in practice and compliance leaders also realizing the sunk cost fallacy of the old approach, we see leading organizations switching to data generating smart solutions that not only personalize every learner's journey to what they know and how they're performing real time, an experience, you know, that's truly adaptive, but also produces rich behavioral insights on how the learner makes decisions and navigating real life scenarios. So you know what's driving the gaps and where the forgetting curve will be the strongest. The gold standard training programs are then using this data to make compliance a continued conversation across the year, from doing the obvious of discussing the results at town halls and staff meetings, to then doing more progressive things like sending targeted AI reinforcements that offer micro-learning just on the topic each learner needs. We're seeing the most progressive teams leverage training data layered with other transactional data to provide them with a data-informed lens on where to add additional embedded controls with transactional business systems, for example. And they're also, this is exciting, talking about the AI panel next week, they are just starting to deploy AI conversations where employees engage in simulated ethical dilemmas with an AI character and then get real feedback regarding how they did in avoiding, let's say, a potential conflict of interest, for example. This way, you're not just in your learning throughout the year, teaching in the way people learn best, which is one-on-one digital coaching and personalized practice and play, but also offsetting the forgetting curve by pulling a variety of levers so the information can truly become muscle memory for the employee.
Data analytics and analysis has been touted as a huge part of optimizing onboarding and compliance training outcomes. Can you talk a little bit about that and how the maturation of data and analytics has helped you as a compliance and ethics practitioner?
Yeah, definitely. We see this everywhere. It's a complicated term because pretty much anything can be considered data, but not everything is useful or accurately measured or bias-free. But it's clear, and you mentioned this at the outset, it's no longer a nice to have. It's a must have in our programs. We have traditionally lived in a descriptive data world, meaning here's what has happened, which has very little value. And it's often what prevents us from having a real value add seat at the table. The world we need to focus on to have real optimization is predictive. So what's likely to happen and how can we influence it as a strategic partner to the business? The solution landscape that's truly doing this right is still pretty limited. So a lot of programs are unfortunately falling prey to analyzing compliance training outcomes in ways that are activity or assessment driven still. So what you really need is behavioral insights that are application driven, ideally from a solution that is remediating the gaps in real time so you're protected. I have personally used this adaptive compliance solution in my past organization and my current one. It's been game changing on how I can leverage the data. I have leveraged training data to report risk area health up to the board, drive targeted communication campaigns based on roles or specific roles or functions in the business. And I've also embedded just-in-time guidance into existing business processes using this data. So for example, I saw a gap in knowledge and training around third-party payments when I deployed some training, and that was the predictive aspect of the data. I then went with that information to my audit department, and they were doing annual payment audits. And their data not only lined up with what I was seeing in simulation, but they also had assessed that there were some improper payments, actually a lot of improper payments, due to employees not looking at the T's and C's of the third party's contracted hourly rates from that original contract. So what I did was embed guidance into our system's invoice approval escalation that were sent to those in the business that had the approval authority. And we could then understand quantifiably year over year if the guidance was making an impact. I love to call this sneak training or non-training training, but you know, seriously, this type of data maturity has allowed me to transition from more of a scattershot approach where you just kind of put out a piece of guidance and hope it works, or redeploy a policy for employees to, you know, read again, to someone who works with the business to train and reinforce efficiently and effectively. The shift, it has been crucial for me as a practitioner. It's allowed me to be more proactive and strategic in my approach, because it's not just about collecting data. It's about then contextualizing it and making it real and impactful, you know, and making real changes that drive an ethical culture throughout my organization.
Well, Harper, thank you so much for coming on the show today. This has been super informative, and it's been a real pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you so much, Bill, for having me once again.
To learn more about how Learning Pool can help transform your compliance training efforts, please visit learningpool.com and be sure to look for their latest white paper, Target, Tailor, and Humanize Compliance Training Using Adaptive Learning Principles. I'm Bill Coffin, and this has been the Ethicast. For more episodes, please visit the Ethisphere YouTube channel at youtube.com/ethisphere. And if this is your first time enjoying the show, please make sure to like and subscribe on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. Thanks so much for joining us. And until next time, remember, strong ethics is good business. Ethics doesn't just happen. You need to put in the time. So make sure to register for the 15th Annual Global Ethics Summit, a live and virtual event in Atlanta, Georgia, from April 22nd through the 24th. Save $200 by using the code ETHICAST at registration. To learn more, visit attendges.com.